Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Faith Friday. On this episode, we are talking about lessons in Leviticus. And so if you've been following along, I'm trying to read the Bible through this year. And originally I just started like Proverbs, Psalms, and then a couple other books. And now I've gone Genesis, Exodus, and just finished Leviticus. And so whenever I first started Leviticus, I really was not sure what to expect. And that's because I had read that heard that Leviticus was like the book of laws, and I was like, oh, doesn't seem fun. So I watched this little animated video before I start every book of the Bible. I'll make sure that I link it so you guys can do that. And it's basically this guy that does like Bible sketch art, and he explains kind of like a summary version in like 10-15 minutes of what happens in each book of the Bible. And he does a really good job of just explaining some of the different things, giving context, all of this, you know, really just insightful things. So he actually, you know, kind of breaks it down to be a lot more than about laws. So I'm like, okay, let's get into it. So lessons of Leviticus, first lesson, this one caught me a little by surprise, and it is that God wants us to have fun, to relax, and to take a day of rest. And there is a ton in the book of Leviticus where he talks about how you should have a Sabbath, how you should refrain from doing any work on the Sabbath, and how there's that reminder that even God, after he worked for 6 days, rested on the seventh day, because that's what we need to be able to rest and to refuel. And we need to spend that day with family and with God and different things like that. So that's something that I am really trying to take to heart, because I have never been a relaxed girly. Would love to. It's just, it doesn't come natural, you know? So the concept of taking a day of rest, I'm like, a whole day? What? But I've been trying to do it. So this is probably like my second or third week of trying to just, Sundays are for family, for God, for listening to devotionals, going to church, for spending the day doing fun things, getting outside, spending the day with family, you know, whatever that looks like. And now that I've started to embrace that, honestly, Sundays have been so fun, since I've just been like, oh, we don't do anything Sundays. Sundays is just like a day of fun, a day of rest, a day of relaxation. And it has been so cool to watch it unfold just in the past few weeks. Okay, second lesson of Leviticus. God literally moves mountains to reconnect with his people. So God, in the book of Leviticus, it picks up where Moses had just freed the Israelite people from Egypt, and they get to this new land that God's given him, and then basically they turn their backs on God. They start living in sin again, all these different things. And so God's like, okay, I have to make a way to reconnect with my people, as well as be able to speak through Moses to teach my people how to live, what's right, what's wrong, what animals they can eat, what animals they shouldn't eat, all these different things. And so God creates, the beginning of Leviticus is basically God instructing Moses and Aaron how to build this temple that they can connect with God in, that they can connect God to the people in, that they can basically have a, you know, traditional kind of church style meetings and different things like that, where they're able to just have a place for the people to reconnect with God. So that is a huge piece at the beginning. And so at this point, Jesus has not come and died for our sins. And so since that act hasn't taken place, God's like, hey, let's create this concept of a scapegoat. I'm thinking this is where scapegoat came from, not 100% sure. But God's like, let's create this concept of a scapegoat, where you guys will sacrifice one of your best goats to me, and you'll basically like say, have one of the priests like give all of your sins over to this goat and then sacrifice this goat. And that will basically be this, you know, goat taking the place of your sins, thus making you right with me. And, you know, obviously now today we don't have to do that because God sent Jesus to come and to die for our sins. And since that has happened, we don't have to sacrifice animals or anything like that. We can just ask God for forgiveness. But since that wasn't available then, God's like, hey, how do I create something to allow my people to reconnect with me post this life of living in sin? And that is essentially kind of how that comes to be. And so God is at this point just doing so much to make sure that he's helping Moses with his faith journey, that he's showing up for him, that he's showing up for the people, that he's showing the people how they can reconnect with him, all these different things, because God just wants to have a relationship with his people, and he also wants to teach his people how to live. And so a lot of that looks like God actually going and, you know, telling through Moses, through Aaron, hey, here's the animals you can eat. Here's the animals you can't eat. And he lists off like that you can't eat lizards, you can't eat vultures, you can't eat bald eagles, like things that today we obviously know that we can't eat. Obviously back then they had never had anybody to tell them like, hey, I wouldn't eat that lizard, you know? And so God basically is telling people, hey, here's how you live since now you're in this new land and you need some direction, you need some help. And God gives that to them through Moses and through Aaron. So third lesson is God literally tells us how to live. Not only does he talk about what's good to eat, he also goes into things that you shouldn't do and how to have a relationship with him. And so God is literally in this book of Leviticus being like, hey, do you want to have a relationship with me? Here's the play-by-play. This is when he talks about not defrauding your neighbor, being honest in business, not lying, not stealing, not cheating, taking care of your family members whenever they get older, just all these different things that God expects us to do. And so God's basically like, hey, you want to have a Christ-filled life? Here's the book of how to do it. And so whenever I had kind of heard like, oh, Leviticus is the book of laws, now I'm like, oh, Leviticus is actually the book where the people are just lost. They don't know anything. And so God's like, hey, here's your instruction manual on how to live. So if you're somebody who maybe is a little bit lost in life right now, I think this is a great book to read because you will literally get a play-by-play of what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what God considers to be sinful, like all the things, but not in a way that condemns you, in a way that's just like, oh, that's why we don't do those things. And so it's a really cool, really insightful, and really eye-opening. So the fourth lesson is God creates priests through Moses, through Aaron, and through Aaron's son to be able to connect with him, to be able to learn from them, to have them teach the people. And what this looks like is God is literally coming to Moses and Aaron and saying, hey, here's how I want my people to live. The message about don't eat lizards and ravens, that came to Moses for Moses to give to the people. God is literally working through these different people he's appointed to teach the people how to live, to teach them how to get atonement for their sins. And God is not only just allowing this to happen through Moses and Aaron, but now it's happening through Aaron's sons. And so God is like, hey, you know, we need to make sure that we have lots of different people that are able to preach my word, to teach the people how to have relationships with me, to teach the people how to connect with me in a way that is practical, that makes sense, and a way that kind of appeals to everybody in different ways. And so God is literally just appointing all these different people just to make sure that people can have connection with him and that he can, you know, restore the Israelite people and make their lives just more fruitful, more joy-filled, and make it so they actually can have that Sabbath rest through his blessings. So fifth lesson, God actually created a Sabbath year of rest through this thing called the year of Jubilee. And so basically God's like, hey, not only are you supposed to have a Sabbath rest, but also I want you to take a year of rest. And so on the sixth year, I am going to provide so much for you that it will actually be 3 years worth of harvest. So year six, you'll get so much. Year seven, you can take a rest. Year eight, you replant. And then year nine, you reharvest. And I'm going to give you so much in year six that you don't have to worry about year seven, eight, and nine. And I think that's such a cool message. One, to show that God will meet our needs, that if God asks us to rest, He's going to provide a way for us to rest. He's not going to say rest, but also starve. He's going to say rest, and here's how you can do it. And so I think if we're really just listening and paying attention to what God's call is on our life and what God actually wants us to do and how God wants us to spend our time, we'll find that we have enough time for all of those things every single day, no matter what that looks like. And that's one thing that I've been learning is I am always the person that I felt like, oh my gosh, there's so much to do, not enough hours in the day. And now I'm like, oh wait, actually, there's always been exactly enough time for everything God's wanted me to do in every single day. So instead of rushing from thing to thing, just embracing that God has things that He wants me to do. And if He wants me to do those things, He's also going to give me the time, the availability, and the resources to be able to do those things. So God actually created not only a Sabbath day of rest, but a Sabbath year of rest. And I'm going to look into this. I don't know, but I know sometimes people take like sabbaticals. And I'm wondering if this is where that concept comes from, because there's a lot of things that I'm realizing that are different concepts we have today, that the concepts actually originated in the Bible. And we just didn't realize maybe that that concept existed. Okay, so next lesson, lesson number six, is this book talks so much about helping the poor, and it's talking about helping the poor before they become homeless. And so it's basically like, hey, if there's somebody that's in your community that has had bad things happen, unfortunate events, whatever, they're about to be homeless, help them before they become homeless. And I think it's such good perspective, because so often we're like, oh, should I help this person? Should I not? And like the Bible says, help them before they become homeless. It says, help the poor, feed the poor, and also never look down on the poor. And I think that's so important, because I think a lot of times we're so quick to just think like, oh, well, you know, like things are going fine because at least I'm not homeless, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, don't compare yourself to somebody in a way where you're looking down on them, because at the end of the day, you're still looking down on them. And the Bible here is really just talking about how God loves the poor just as much as He loves me, you, every single person. And money doesn't determine whether or not God loves somebody. So treat everybody with love, kindness, and respect, regardless of whether or not they have money. Help them, feed them, never look down on them, and try to help people before they become homeless. So if you have an opportunity to step in and help somebody and change the trajectory maybe of their life or their living situation, always try to do that. Okay, number seven lesson from the book of Leviticus: God rewards you for obedience and gives you favor even if your ancestors followed Him. So what this is talking about is there's people that sin against God, and God basically forgives them and restores them because of the faith that their ancestors had. And because God had a covenant with their ancestors where God said, hey, I will take care of your family for generations to come. And then the generations to come end up being a sinful generation. And God is saying, hey, even though you're sinful, even though you're not perfect, I am still going to give you the opportunity to come to know me because of the promise that I've made with your ancestors in the years past. And so he's talking about how God rewards us for obedience, how if we're obedient to God, He will always give us more than enough, not just enough. And it's also talking about how God will give you favor again, just because your ancestors followed Him. Sometimes you get favor because of your parents or your grandparents having faith or praying for you or whatever those things are, whatever those things look like. Eighth lesson in Leviticus is, I wrote down to kind of summarize this lesson, that thing that you feel like you're missing is God. And in Leviticus 26:26, it says, when I cut off your supply of bread. 10 women will be able to bake bread in one oven, and they will dole out the bread by weight. You will eat and you will not be satisfied. So he's basically saying, I'm going to give you so much, but even when you eat, this won't satisfy you, because ultimately the only thing that can satisfy you is a relationship with God. And I definitely learned this the hard way, because I was the kind of person that I was never content. I always thought happiness was in the next destination, in the next thing, in the next person, in the next place. I never understood that happiness is actually tied to whether or not I have a relationship with God, whether or not I'm spiritually fit, whether or not I'm giving my day to God, whether or not I'm going along with God's plan for my life rather than trying to force God to go along with my plan. All of these things are actually going to be the determiners of whether or not you're content and whether or not you have enough in life, is giving your life to God, not running away from Him, not trying to do things on your own, not trying to make things happen on your own. And it's something that it took me a really long time to learn, that that thing that I was missing, that thing that I was seeking, it was God. And then once I got my relationship right with God, gave my life to Him, became spiritually fit, then it was like, oh, now things are really good. Now things are happening. Now things are turning around. And that's really what you have to do to just get to that place of contentment that you're seeking. Okay, ninth and last lesson in the book of Leviticus is God spoke through and to Moses to teach the people how to live. So basically, God might not come before you and say, hi, I'm God, listen to me. But God may give you inklings of what's right or what's wrong through what you learn from other people. And so one way that this has come to fruition in my life is I listen to a podcast pretty much every morning by Joyce Meyer, and she talks about different lessons in faith, and a lot of times gives kind of those hard lessons in faith that maybe you don't want to hear. And a lot of times I view that as God speaking through her to teach me how to live. And a lot of times I think we have the resources where we can get online and we can figure out how am I supposed to live, and we can actually learn that through God speaking through other people to us about how we're supposed to live. And that was something that was just really cool to kind of tie back to real life, that like back in this time, God, because He can't get on TV and say, hey, I'm God, listen to me, He's speaking through Moses. Moses is giving this to the people. So if you have somebody in your life who maybe is trying to be your Moses, maybe give them a little bit more time or a little bit more acknowledgement. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Faith Friday. Ooh, quick life update. You guys, it is the end of ski season. I'm going to have to find a new hobby. So you guys know I've been skiing for the past couple months, and it has been so much fun, you guys. Honestly, yesterday was closing day, and I was like, getting it down the mountain, like, wow, I have gotten so much better at something I used to be terrified to do. And let me tell you guys, here's why I was terrified, is I was terrified to learn how to ski because I was terrified to fall. And this season, I've had some good wipeouts. I've rolled down the mountain a couple times, and guess what happened? Nothing. Literally, I got back up, giggled, put my skis on, and skied away. And here I was, so worried to learn something new, to try something new. And then once I just faced my fears, I learned so much, gained so much, and found something that was just so fun and a new hobby for me to have for years to come. So here is your little just a personal reminder that if you have a hobby you've been wanting to start or try, or if you have something that you want to do but you're afraid, face that fear, pray about it, and just trust that God will guide you in the journey. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. See you on Monday. And as always, happy healing, babes. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you loved this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.